Have you noticed in life, sometimes we learn through success, through good moments, through great events. And sometimes we learn when things go bad. I don't know which lesson we learn better, but those are kind of the ways it happens. Tonight, we're going to look at the message I've entitled Felix's Moment to Shine. And it's kind of an interesting diversion in the story in some ways, because we've been dealing with Paul and with trials and struggles and all this stuff, and Paul is still part of the story, but really the focus shifts for a few verses to Felix. Claudius Felix would be his full name. Claudius Felix and Claudius Lysias, the guy that's up at Jerusalem that we've dealt with a couple of times back before, they were likely friends, had a relative in the in Rome who arranged for their freedom. And because of that, they took the name Claudius from the Roman emperor who was emperor at the time and added it to their name. So there's a relationship here. Now, because Felix had been a slave and he became a ruler of a region, his background was different, how else to say that, than most. So last week we experienced the trial. Remember what happened? Paul faced some serious charges. He dealt with some serious issues. He answered each one of them in turn. And when you finish a trial, what is normally the outcome? A verdict, right? There's a decision made. Life goes on. Felix is in the spot of getting to make the decision because he's the ruler of the broader region that included Judea. So we get to that point and we go, okay, here's what's going to happen. I guess he's going to either go to jail for the rest of his life, or he's going to get turned back over to the Jews and they were going to take his life, or he'll get released. What's going to happen? That's what we find out tonight. First thing I want you to see is this. Felix, in his moment to shine, he does this. He defers his decision. Is no decision a decision? Of course it is. That's where it begins. Look at verse 22. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, you, Baptist church member, Christian, are part of the way. That's us, okay? So that's, we're talking about us here. Hey, but having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off. He deferred. Saying, when Lysias, the tribune, comes down here, I will decide your case. Now, both sides of the situation have been clearly presented. We had Tertullus last week talk about the Jews' position and what Paul was charged with. We've seen Paul respond to his charges, and he's told them, this is what's why I'm here. But here we deal with now the guy who gets to make the decision. And he says, I want to put you off. Now, we got to understand that he didn't live in a vacuum. None of us do. He lived in a situation where he was ruling over, on behalf of the Romans, a people who hated Romans. But there were also people within his region of jurisdiction that were not Jews. There were Gentiles. There were Samaritans, as we see in Jesus' story from time to time. And what he was called to do was to somehow bring together these diverse groups of people into the Pax Romana, the peace that the Romans were so enamored with. So the moment comes. All the evidence has been presented. The Jews have laid their case out. Paul has laid his case out. There's not much else to know at this point. And so he sits there and goes, I'm kind of familiar with the way. They've got a church down the street here. You remember a guy named Cornelius was part of having a church in Caesarea, the town that they're in. I've been here for a few years. I've heard about their beliefs. I've kind of picked up a little bit about them. I know some things about them. And so I think I'm going to just, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's where he finds himself. He knows things about the way. He probably has met some people who are followers of Jesus. His wife, as we're going to see in a minute, is a Jewish individual who is part of the Jewish belief system, and poor Felix had that great privilege of being the ruler of the region. He got to go, the honor, quote unquote, of going to Jerusalem on regular trips to kind of oversee the Jews when they'd have their festival. So he knew what they did. But instead of making the hard decision between the Jews and a Roman citizen, he defers. He makes excuses. Doesn't that sound like any of us? I don't know. I don't know if I got all the details or not. I don't know if I have all the information or not. So here's what he says. I'm going to wait till Lysias comes down. Now, he and Lysias were old-time buddies, okay? So really what he's saying is, I'm going to wait till Lysias comes down and gives me a report. Can I tell you something? He already had Lysias' report. All Lysias was going to do when he came was say, did you get the report I sent you? And he was going to say, yeah. He'll go, well, did you read the report I sent you? And he's going to go, well, yeah. He's going to go, well, you've already seen everything I needed to say. There was nothing to add to the story. It was a done deal. It was finished. The bottom line is this. He's unwilling to make the hard decision. So he defers. He puts off. He delays. We're going to get to this in application in a minute, but it's like many of us, isn't it? We want people to what? Hate us as much as possible so they can despise us and use our name as an epithet. No, we want people, whether we admit it or not, right, to think highly of us, to think well of us, to like us, if you want to use that word. But here he is, he's trying to rule over a group of people or groups of people that hate each other and can't get along, and here he is having to struggle with this situation. So what he does is he says this, I'm going to defer. I'm going to wait. I'll get around to that. Mañana, mañana. Tomorrow. So Felix defers his decision. So what does that leave Paul in? Paul then is detained. Felix detains Paul. He holds on to him. So then he gives orders to the centurion that Paul should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Now, since he was unwilling to release Paul, he had to detain him until he made his decision. When was that going to be? Not today. That's all we know for certain. It's not an uncommon action, especially for a Roman citizen. He wouldn't be placed in jail. He wouldn't have the key thrown away. He wouldn't be buried under the jail. He would be given some freedom. I guess that's, if you're going to be in jail, that's kind of the way you'd want to have jail. Is a little bit of freedom. A little home arrest would be better than hanging out at Central Lockup for a while. But he's going to be detained for an indefinite time. And there was already a church in the community. There were already believers in the community. There were people there. In fact, you remember Philip, the evangelist, was part of the church at Caesarea. And he had daughters who were unmaried, who were prophesied. So there's a lot of religious and spiritual Christian activity going on. There were other believers who lived in the community. You remember when Paul came through there on the way to Jerusalem? Do you remember who traveled with him to Jerusalem? There were people from the church at Caesarea who said, hey, we're going to go with you. So they went up there with him. So it's not like he's the only one in town who follows Jesus. And we're going to find out in a few verses that he stayed there not 1 year, but 2 years waiting for Felix to make up his mind. Any of you like to wait on a decision for 2 years? The answer's coming. When? In 2 years. Oh, my goodness, that's too long. I can imagine Paul taking no advantage of this time. Can you imagine what Paul did while he was in this community for 2 years? He sat back and relaxed. He did nothing. He said, they got beautiful spas. I can get a manicure. I can get a pedicure. I'm going to get a massage. I don't think that's Paul, do you? Paul said, I'm going to be involved in the work of God's work right here where I'm at while I'm here. He got detained, but God got the blessing out of this. I want you to see that because we're going to bring that back here in a few minutes. I can imagine Paul taking advantage of the time. I suspect that many of the letters that we read in the New Testament, or at least some of them, were written during this two-year period. Some of the latter letters that were written while he was there. He sent them out. You're sitting at a shipping point. How difficult would it be to mail a letter? See what I'm saying? To send somebody to take a letter. He's right there at Caesarea. It's a major port city. Felix meant it for prison. Paul said, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to redeem the time. Third, and this comes to the saddest part of the story for me. Felix discussed Paul's faith. He wanted to hear. Look at verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. That's a great name. We need to bring that name back, don't we? Drusilla. I don't think so. Drusilla. She was Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Now, catch what that just said. Felix, the pagan, the Roman, the ruler of the region, has got who in his custody? Paul. And he says, hey, why don't you come down to my temple, my court here, and my palace here, and would you tell me a little bit about this Jesus? Paul, no, I can't do that. I'm afraid to share my faith in front of groups of people. I couldn't do that. I don't know. No. Paul jumped at the chance. You can just imagine, can't you? He stepped in there and says, of course. And notice what they had the conversation about. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, now catch what happens. Felix was alarmed. Because Paul was a prisoner and he was afraid of the prisoner? Not at all. What he's afraid of is the gospel. He's sharing the gospel, and when the gospel is shared, people who are lost have to make a what? A decision. Is what they're saying true, which means I have to adjust what I believe to conform to what they are teaching and the gospel, or do they run away? Felix was alarmed, and he says, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. Now, notice what's going on here. As they're having this conversation, as they're in this limbo, this legal limbo, Paul is called in, and he's brought there. Maybe it was the Jewish wife that influenced him. Maybe. Because in Judaism, they understand that what? Messiah is coming, not has come, but is coming. So maybe she says to him, hey, honey, we ought to listen at least to what the guy has to say. If nothing else, it'll be entertaining to listen to what he has to talk about. I mean, you know, life, let's have some fun here. You know, let's listen. Well, what's interesting about this lady, and you really have to go to secular history to kind of pick it up, but it's the old guy Josephus. You've heard him before and again, because he's kind of the best first century historian. I don't know if he's entirely, completely accurate all the time, but he's pretty good at the general details. So we'll hang on there with the thought. But Drusilla was the daughter, was a daughter of the Herod mentioned in Acts 12. And she got married off, according to Josephus, when she was 14, young girl, to a king named Azizus. Azizus was the king of what's called a client state. It's like a city-state in modern Western Syria, the city of Homs. It's actually been in the news with some of the terrorist fighting and things like that. Back then it was called Emesa. But anyway, at 14, she didn't really care to be queen, probably didn't like the old man that she had to be married off to because of the situation. And so along comes Felix, and Felix tells Drusilla this, oh baby, I'll make you happy. And you're going, why would he say that? Do you know what Felix means? Happy. It was a play on his name is what he did. And she apparently divorced the first husband and marries Felix, which even under Judaism, by the way, meant that she was living a what? A life of adultery. This is not a good thing in Judaism. And so here she lays it out. She says, okay, but we want to hear what he has to talk about. And so I can imagine, can't you, Paul, having this conversation, he says, oh, you want me to come talk with you? Yeah, let me tell you about righteousness. I was a king of righteousness when I was a Pharisee. Self-control, man, I didn't have any of it. Coming judgment, I didn't know anything about it. But then I met who? Jesus on the road to where? Damascus. And he changed my life. Let me tell you, oh, I don't know. Would you like to have him in your life? Oh, whoa, stop. See the picture? What's going on here? See, some people, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, they run away. Some run to Christ. Paul, in the midst of this trial, please catch this. In the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this ugly and difficult moment, what does he do? He looks for the opportunity to talk about Jesus. He's there for almost 2 years. Actually, we're going to find out it's longer than that in a minute. And I suspect this guy was under conviction. He'd listen. he'd send Paul away. He'd listen, he'd send Paul away. He'd listen, send Paul away. Moment to shine? For him, it was a moment to what? Fail. He didn't do what he needed to do. And ultimately, what Felix wanted was this. He desired a bribe from Paul. Look at verse 26 and 27. It just tells us flat out. At the same time, he's listening to the gospel. He's listening to the truth of Jesus. He's coming under conviction by the Holy Spirit. That's what we would call it today. I think that's the best description for what's happening. At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. He's hoping Paul will pay him off. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. Remember, Felix's background was what? Not high birth, a low birth. Not an educated background, an uneducated background. That's not to say that you can't learn if you're an educated background, but here's the reality. His background really didn't prepare him to be the king, the ruler of that region. And yet here he was trying to do his job. 27, when 2 years had elapsed, that's when we find out it's 2 full years, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. And Felix disappears from the story. So as this process wore on, the motivation behind this really became clear. I think, without a doubt, Felix came under conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's any way to say, I don't think the Holy Spirit really spoke to him. Yeah, I think he did. I think he really heard the Spirit of God speaking in his heart. He really heard the ability, the need to confess his sin, to turn from sin and to turn to Christ. But he didn't. His moment to shine, and he didn't. His moment to find faith in Christ, but he what? Didn't. His moment to step into a life that would really make a difference, and he didn't. You know, often we look in the scriptures and we look for the stories of the people who are the successful ones, don't we? The ones who won this, that battle here, that accomplish here. But God also puts stories like this in here to show us that there are times when people make really bad choices. By the way, bribes were illegal in the Roman system. I didn't say they didn't happen, but they were illegal, okay? It was also, by the way, immoral to expect a guy who's accused of a crime to bring up a bribe and say, hey, can you let me loose? Not a good thing. Unfortunately, Felix, what he wants is a bribe. And to Paul's credit, it didn't come. Either Paul didn't have the money, he knew it was wrong, knew it was a combination of both, I'm not sure, but here's what happens. Paul languishes in captivity at Caesarea Maritima. And he took it as an opportunity. 2 years drag on. 2 years in jail. 2 years in the political situation he's in. 2 years in limbo. And all the while, in the political region in which they lived, according to Josephus, our secular historian of the time, who was Jewish, so sometimes his stories are a little colored, the region sank into chaos. The region sank further into disarray. The region sank further into conflict, to the point where the outcome is he gets replaced. The Romans, what happens, according to Josephus, is it got so bad that the Jews sent a delegation to Caesar to complain about him, and one of the things the Romans never wanted to hear was complaints. They said, well, fine, we'll just get somebody else. We got more political appointees we can send. This one's as crooked as the next one. We'll find another one and send them down there. It'll be all right. And what was supposed to be a few days to clear up the matter became a 2-year ordeal. 2-year deal. So now Festus rises to power. Porcius was one of the Caesars. But Felix left him to rot in jail, thinking, well, maybe the Jews will do me a favor. Crooked to the end. Three things I want you to see, and we're going to probably finish a few minutes early, and that's okay. Originally, I wrote this application as leaders sometimes make poor choices. I want you to broaden that and just say we all sometimes make bad choices. Let me just be broader than that. I think the focus is okay because we're talking about Felix, but I also think we need to grasp the principles a little broader than just one guy. The principle I want you to see from this is the ability of us at times to make some really bad choices. Felix had laid in front of him the opportunity to engage with Paul and to hear about Jesus and to hear about life-changing transformation that's available to all, and he failed it. And he wants a bribe on top of it. I mean, he could have done the right thing. He could have ruled on the case. He could have said, okay, here's the deal. Here's the answer. Even if it was the wrong one, life could have moved on. Even if he had turned him over to the Jews for their form of justice, it would have, I think, been better than being left in political limbo in some respects. But Felix was in a place where whichever way he went, it wasn't going to really turn out well. When you got two bad choices in front of you, why not take the right one? The right one in his case would have been to rule, I think, in Paul's favor. Would the Jews have been mad? Yeah, you know what? The Jews were mad anyway. They were upset. It wasn't going to change. What we see here is this. Felix made a bad decision not by not ruling like he needed to. That seems to be the hallmark of his time. And I think therein lies the principle that we need to kind of get from this story. You know, when we're faced with tough choices, and listen, every one of us are from time to time, don't compound the problem by delaying the decision. Rise to the occasion. Rise to the moment. Do the right thing. On one level, your inaction could rob somebody of what they should have had. Felix, I think, robbed Paul of 2 years of freedom. Pretty serious thing. Second, this is one I think we need to learn. You can share Jesus even in trials. How do you respond when things go bad in your life? Do you get mad? Do you get sulk? Do you sulk? Do you go into the corner? Do you hide? Do you pout? Do you disappear? What do you do? I don't know. I don't think those are the right answers. Every one of us is going to face bad times at some point in our life. We probably won't find ourselves under house arrest. Oh, I hope not. We probably won't find ourselves actually in jail because of following Christ. But when hard times come, we've got a choice to make. Do we go to ground? Or do we stand up and be counted faithful? What do we do? When hardships come, there's a thought, there's two choices. You can fight or you can flight. You can stand or you can run. But I think there's a third option. Be faithful to what you're called to do. Be faithful to what God has for you in the moment, no matter how ugly the moment may be, and look for the opportunity to share Jesus. The highlight of my month so far as a child of God, outside of family, okay, but following Christ, I had the privilege a week ago yesterday to go to a home of a family that are members of our church and share the gospel with their son and him accept Christ. And I'm not telling you that to brag. You say, well, that's your job, Pastor. That's our job, church. Okay, let me just kind of make that real clear. But I had the privilege of sitting down and walking him through the faith outline that I worked through teaching y'all last year and share with him that everyone needs forgiveness. It's available for everyone. There's that moment that we have to turn and that we can get out of heaven. I missed a letter in there. But you get the point. I share that with you not to say, oh, he's doing a great job, because sometimes I think I'm doing a lousy job. Can I tell you that? But I want you to understand that when things get hard, when things get difficult, don't quit being faithful to what God's called you to do, to share Jesus. You know, a couple years ago, the surveys showed that it took like 46 or 47 opportunities that we shared the gospel before someone accepted Christ. I just got to be the one who was there when he prayed to accept Christ. His mom had shared with him. His daddy had shared with him. The youth pastor in the town he lives during the week shared with him. He's listened to the gospel again and again. I just got to be the one that was there when he accepted Christ. But what if I hadn't have been there? What if you hadn't have done what you were called to do? Well, things are hard. I don't like this. So what? Paul could have taken the pathway of saying, well, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing while they figure this out. I'm going to quit. He didn't. Why would anybody who's really following Jesus want to take a 2-year break from following Jesus? Doesn't make sense. Why would anybody want to quit following Christ because things got hard? Imagine with me, had Paul decided to do that, what would have happened to Paul's reputation in Christ? When trials come, and they will, choose faithfulness. Choose to speak the gospel. One last thought, and I'll be done, and it's a quick one. Bad choices lead to a bad outcome. That's a pretty deep thought, Patrick. We hadn't figured that one out. I didn't say that all the things I come up with are deep and profound, okay? Sometimes it's just a reminder of what it is. As a friend of mine in disaster relief used to say, well, it is what it is. Nothing you can do about it. This is a it is what it is thing. It is what it is. There's a principle I want you to see, and they flow out of the other two and the broader story in general. When we decide to make bad choices, we're going to see some bad outcomes. Don't look at Paul. Look at Claudius Felix. He had Paul the apostle in his captivity for 2 years, listening to him, having conversations with him, hearing him tell him about Jesus, tell him talk about how he'd been saved, have him talk to him about what could happen in his life if he'd trust Christ. And what did he do? He blew it. See, he got his job because his brother was in well with the Caesar, but he was there. And when he got there, he started making bad choices. Let me give you the list I came up with. This is just some of them. He didn't work with the people of the lands. He's trying to work with two different groups of people that hated each other. That's always tough. He stole another man's wife. Oh, baby, I'll make you happy. Okay? He refused to rule on cases like he was supposed to do. He put himself in situations where he was exposed to truth and he ignored it. Listen, we sometimes make bad choices, don't we? And sometimes, if not always, we find bad outcomes. Jesus talked about the principle of sowing and reaping. That's what's going on here. So my challenge to you as we wrap up this little story about Felix and his bad decision is don't be Felix. Don't be a Felix. Don't make the bad choice. Make the right choice. Do the things that God calls us to do. In fact, that's even my conclusion. When the spotlight turns your way, be sure to shine rightly. Not brightly, rightly. In a way that honors God. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this evening. We pray your blessing on your word as it's been taught. We thank you for the music that we have sung. But God, all those things are really secondary to living lives that bless you and bless others. Living lives where we love God and love people. So Father, I pray that as we take a moment to consider what response we need, Father, it's probably not to stand up and walk down an aisle, but maybe it is. But Father, maybe it's just to stop where we are and say, God, help me make better choices. God, help me to not be Felix. But instead, God, help me to model my life more after Paul, who found himself in just a terrible situation. But he made the right choice to be faithful. Father, I pray that as we sing this song, Father, if we need to respond, we would just take a moment and stay in our seat and pray. May we need to come to an altar. May we need to just speak to someone next to us and say, hey, I'm not going to be Felix anymore. I want to be like Jesus. I want to emulate Paul, his serving of Jesus. God, we thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing this song. You respond if you need. I'll be here at the front.